WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Morning. Welcome into a new day here on the program. It is Fun Friday, brought to you by Dee's Hot Dogs in New Bedford. And we're going to have our Fun Friday question of the day. But we're going to start off, unfortunately, on a less fun note, a little bit of a somber note. The passing of Hulk Hogan yesterday. I was out of the building when it happened. I had to run home for an important appointment and then came back afterward. So I wasn't here when the news broke. I was home, but my phone was blowing up with everybody, you know, all my friends and people saying, like, hey, you know, did you hear? It's like, yes, no, I've heard. We all have devices in our pockets now that give us the news. But it's a complicated thing because Hulk Hogan kind of tarnished his legacy in recent years. Now, people who followed wrestling know that knew the ins and outs of it. You know, Hogan came on the scene as this all-American superhero, you know, role model figure. But behind the scenes, he was, you know, not always the greatest guy for his coworkers to work with. He supposedly is the one who went and told Vince McMahon that Jesse Ventura was trying to unionize the wrestlers. Got wrapped up in the whole steroids trial. I mean, there was a lot of things. And then when he got to WCW, you know, had creative control and wouldn't always do the right thing for people that weren't Hulk Hogan. You know, so there was all these things in the business. But then the last couple of years, certainly, you know, some people are going to crap on him for his political choices. But there's a lot of people who are of the same beliefs as Hulk Hogan in the wrestling world. So, that I don't think is what kind of made him ostracized within the business. It was the racist rant that he went on. And that is what I think kind of tarnished his legacy at the end. But as I wrote on social media, you know, despite whatever problems he may have had, without Hulk Hogan, does pro wrestling survive the 80s? It probably definitely does not survive the 90s. So you've got him to thank for taking what was, you know, this Saturday afternoon syndicated TV show that only little kids and weirdos watched. No offense. I'm one of those weirdos. But then they, you know, Vince McMahon had a vision to expand pro wrestling through the use of cable television, and he needed that guy to make it happen. And Hulk Hogan played that part. And it didn't have to be Hulk Hogan. They could have probably done that with someone else. It wasn't that there was something about Hulk Hogan that made him the most recognizable wrestler ever. He was not a good wrestler. His storylines were predictable, but he had the charisma. And anybody that was ever around Hulk Hogan realized he always had that charisma. And the only time I met Hulk Hogan in person was at the Dartmouth Mall. I think it was, 2004? His daughter maybe 2005. His daughter had an album, and Fun 107 was playing her single. This is when Hogan Knows Best was a thing on TV. And, you know, speaking of what Ozzy did to revamp his career with a reality show featuring his family, Hulk Hogan did the same thing. But Fun 107 put on a concert at the Dartmouth Mall with Brooke Hogan, and of course Hulk Hogan was there as well. Got to meet him and talk with him briefly at that event. He offered to buy everybody a pizza, pizza ruler. And then, of course, last year, September, I think last year, we had the chance to have him on the program because he was coming to the South Coast to promote his Real American Beer. And so, you know, I had him on the show and I had him cut a promo about coming to the South Coast, and he cut a promo about me and him being tag team champions together. And I was like, well, that's pretty cool. So I think you're going to see tributes to him for what he did for pro wrestling for sure. A lot of the WWE wrestlers now today grew up Hulk Hogan fans, and some of them, you know, kind of turned away from that with some of his recent actions. But I think everybody appreciates what he did for the business and what he did for, you know, I mean, he was a superhero of the 80s. Didn't matter if you watched wrestling or not, everybody knew Hulk Hogan. He hosted SNL. He was on the A-Team. He made movies. He was in commercials promoting deodorant. Anything less would be uncivilized. So we will certainly take your Hulk Hogan memories if you want, 508-996-0500. He also made wild claims over the years. Like when, I think, didn't he claim to be in Metallica once? He was in the original version of Metallica. Even though, you know, they're out there in, what, San Francisco, and he was in Florida. Actually, by that point, he was already in New York with the WWE. Then he became an entrepreneur. He had Hulk Hogan's Pasta Mania. Now Real American Beer is doing very well. And he was just about to launch a new business venture with Eric Bischoff, the former WCW president, where they were going to have a freestyle wrestling league. And so the idea would be that this would be, you know, not pro wrestling, but freestyle wrestling, but also with storylines. Although I don't remember if the outcome was going to be predetermined. I don't remember all the details of it. To be honest with you, I wasn't really that interested in it, so I didn't follow it too closely. But I don't know what the status of that is going to be, because obviously you needed Hulk Hogan to be the face of that league to make it work. But again, we can take your Hulk Hogan memories, 508-996-0500. I had the headband when I was a kid, and not the tied piece of shirt headband that he used in later years, and not the bandana that he used in years after that. I had the original white adjustable sweatband that said Hulkster across the front. And when I was younger, I wanted a Hulkamania shirt more than anything. My mom had one. My mom and dad went to go see Hulk Hogan one night on a date night at the Garden or the Providence Civic Center. And I wanted one, but my mom got one. And so I used to beg her all the time to let me wear it, because she never wore it. She just put it in her drawer. But I begged her all the time to let me wear it. And then eventually, when he switched over from the red and yellow Hulkamania shirt to the yellow and red Hulk Rule shirt, I got one of those with the rips in the back. And then I finally got to see Hulk Hogan. I think it was 1986 or 7, maybe. I'd have to look it up. You can find it online. But I saw him at the Providence Civic Center. He wrestled Jesse Ventura, which Jesse wasn't really wrestling much at all anymore. I don't know why he was wrestling Jesse, but that was the main event at the Providence Civic Center. And when that match happened, everybody kind of just pushed to the front when Hogan came out. And you felt that electricity in the air. The only wrestler that I've ever been in the same arena with that had that kind of intensity and drew that out of the crowd was Stone Cold Steve Austin. But that was just a house show. It wasn't on TV. It was a foregone conclusion Hulk Hogan was going to win. I think it was a short match too, but it was still a great memory. That, I think that's the only time I ever saw him wrestle in person. But, like I said, Hulk Hogan memories if you wanted, 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails. We also got, and thank you to Barry for sending this to me because the New Bedford police sent it to him. But New Bedford police spokesperson Holly Huntoon put out a statement regarding the police officer who is... What's the a permanent resident? Which, from you know what I was reading online, basically that's like a being a green card holder. And so they've given us a statement on that. We'll get into that. And I'm sure it'll be a hot topic throughout the course of the day, here on the on both this program and with Chris and Barry and. And then Brian tonight. Brian ran into the officer last night at Market Basket. Apparently his name is pronounced Ta, Officer Ta. Brian ran into him last night and invited him to go on to his show anytime that he wants to go on. I have sent an email to New Bedford Police Department, to the spokesperson, Lieutenant Scott Carolla, and said, you know, I would love to have the two of you come on. But we'll see, because generally, you know, this discussions with the police department come through the chief or come through the spokespeople. And you're not really talking directly with the officers. But they made this officer available for the New Bedford Light article, which kind of kicked off these questions. And so I wanted to offer the opportunity to come on this show because... unlike the other hosts, I'm a little bit more open-minded about this. You know, I still have questions about it, but I mean, I was listening to Chris yesterday while I was waiting for the appointment that I had. And, you know, he's saying you've got to assume that this guy has a nefarious reason for wanting to be a police officer. I'm like, what? Why? What are you saying? I love Chris, but what are you saying? He's been, for all intents and purposes, an American since he was 5 years old. You don't think that it's possible that he just wants to serve his community? That he doesn't want to, that he wants to see somebody who is a representative of his particular community within this community be on the police department? At a time when we're complaining about how the New Bedford Police Department doesn't have enough officers and officers are leaving, retiring, or moving to other communities, and you can't get enough younger officers to come in, we're going to try to scare one off? So we can discuss it. I mean, let's at least get the answers to the questions. And then if it turns out that, you know, things weren't done on the up and up, that's a different story. But the statement that the police put out, call that into question, you know, I shouldn't say call that into question, kind of explain that. You might not like the explanation, but it explains it. We'll get into that coming up. Right now, I'm going to take a break, though. We'll be back in a few moments. Well, I can't wait to take you into the news with Mike Roberts coming up. And on the other side, I will read that statement from the New Bedford Police Department regarding Officer Ta. And if you want to call in, 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And we will have our Fun Friday question coming up as well, brought to you by D's Hot Dogs in New Bedford, where you can get two hot dogs, chips, and a soda for $5. So it's going to be hot today. Maybe you're going to be looking for a nice, easy lunch. Something that's not going to weigh you down too much. Well, D's Hot Dogs is the perfect place to stop. In fact, maybe I'll have to make it over there today. I'm going tomorrow to pick my friend up from the airport in the afternoon, and I was like already thinking like, oh, I'll just stop at D's and get lunch before I hit the road and head up to. But then I was like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'm not sure I want to have hot dogs before I go pick up my friend from the airport. No. I'll do it today instead. So, because I'm going to get the one with the beans on it. Maybe the beans and the bacon. All right, let's go into the newsroom now and get the latest update from Mike Roberts.
The U.S. fertility rate is at an all-time low. Research shows the benefits of a four-day work week and Chuck E. Cheese arrested in Florida.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Tensions between President Trump and Fed Chair Jerome Powell are rising again over Powell's refusal to lower interest rates. Yesterday, Trump toured the Federal Reserve Building in D.C. with Powell to take a closer look at the controversial $2.5 billion in renovations Powell signed off on. The two had an awkward exchange in front of reporters over a discrepancy in the amount of the new cost estimate. The Department of Justice suing New York City and Mayor Eric Adams over the city's migrant sanctuary policies. The lawsuit comes just days after an off-duty Border Patrol agent was shot in an Upper Manhattan park, allegedly by a suspect who was in the country illegally. He had arrest records in New York and Massachusetts. The suit claims New York's sanctuary law violates the Supremacy Clause of the Constitution, in which federal laws override state laws when there is a conflict. People don't necessarily need to rack up 10,000 steps a day to have a positive impact on health.
In fact, that number came from a 1960s marketing campaign in Japan. A new study out Wednesday in The Lancet found walking 7,000 steps can get the job done, leading to an almost 50% reduced risk of premature death from any cause, along with lower rates of heart disease, cancer, and dementia. I'm Michael Kastner.
An international study finds that a four-day work week is linked to better mental health. The report published in Nature Human Behavior shows less burnout and better job satisfaction among workers when abbreviated work weeks are in play. Researchers conducted a six-month study involving nearly 3,000 employees at more than 140 businesses in the U.S., Canada, New Zealand, Australia, and the U.K. The study also showed workers were more effective on the job when given a four-day work week and reported better sleep and less fatigue. The CDC says U.S. fertility rates have dropped to a historic low.
The fertility rate has fallen below 1.6 children per woman. Experts note that for America to replace its population, a fertility rate of 2.1 children is required. The number of babies born in the U.S. has been declining for nearly two decades as more women delay motherhood or opt not to have children. The Trump administration has been considering providing better access to in vitro fertilization and offering financial incentives, so-called baby bonuses, to encourage childbearing. I'm Sarah Lee Kessler.
Pictures and video of Chuck E. Cheese being arrested in Florida are going viral on social media. Pictures show the pizza chain mascot in handcuffs while being led out by police as children in the background look on. Police are then seen in a video removing the head of the mascot outfit as the man stands next to the police car. Tallahassee police saying the man inside the costume was arrested on three felonies. Court records show he was charged with credit card theft, fraud, and that he has been released on bond. Marvel's First Family is looking to get off to a fantastic start at the box office this weekend. The Fantastic Four, First Steps, expected to earn about $100 million at the box office. That would be a bigger start than Marvel's last two films, Captain America, Brave New World, and Thunderbolts. Fantastic Four in theaters today. New Yorkers reacting to the death of WWE wrestling legend Hulk Hogan. Hogan won his first title at Madison Square Garden in 1985. And he was also set to open a new bar near that venue this fall.
When I was younger, I certainly watched WWF, and he was that guy.
He made the wrestling world. Like, in the 90s, he was one of the biggest figures. Like, he represented that with The Rock and, like, The Undertaker.
Others never got over scandals, including steroid use and an adult tape that was leaked. The 12-time wrestling world champion and WWE Hall of Famer died at his home in Clearwater, Florida, after suffering cardiac arrest yesterday. Hulk Hogan was 71.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox and Dodgers getting ready for a weekend of games. First pitch tonight, 7:10. Tomorrow, 7:15. Sunday, 1:35.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
A warm, muggy day today. Sunshine, temps in the upper 80s to low 90s. Heat index, making it feel like up to 100. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms, 69. Mostly sunny tomorrow, less humid, dry, 85. Showers for Sunday, 82. I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
And that, of course, is Golden Earring, the Dutch band that had a hit first with Radar Love. And I think that one came like 9 or 10 years later. That was Twilight Zone. And George Kooymans, the guitarist and co-founder of the band Golden Earring, who co-wrote Radar Love and wrote and shared the lead vocals on that song, Twilight Zone, has died at the age of 77. He passed away from complications of ALS, which he had been diagnosed with in 2020. So the celebrity deaths just keep rolling on this week. But also the hot topic of this week, and certainly yesterday here on WBSM, was the Mayan police officer who is, according to the story in New Bedford Light, a permanent legal resident of the United States. Basically, that means a green card holder. And which, by the way, there are questions if he could even have a license to carry. In Massachusetts, green card holders can have a license to carry. So that is not an issue. But there were questions about whether or not someone who is not a U.S. citizen should be a police officer. As Chris has been pointing out, you know, should a person have the right to arrest and take away your rights if they are not a U.S. citizen? And also pointed out, Chris and Barry both, that the New Bedford Police Department website says that U.S. citizenship is a requirement of employment. So keep that part in mind, that the New Bedford Police website says that you need to be a U.S. citizen to be eligible for employment as a New Bedford police officer, because that's going to play a factor in this statement that was put out by the police spokesperson, Holly Huntoon, to Barry, and Barry sent it to me. And Again, Brian ran into the officer at Market Basket. He was the one on the Market Basket detail last night. And he said that it is pronounced ta. And this is the, so that's why I will pronounce it that way. So here's the statement. I'm going to read it to you. It's kind of lengthy, but I want to make sure you get it all. I don't want to just cherry pick certain parts of it. I want to give you what the police said in the interest of fairness. So here we go. The New Bedford Police Department recently received inquiries regarding the qualifications of applicants seeking to serve as police officers in the city. It is the longstanding policy of the NBPD that its officers must be U.S. citizens or permanent legal residents. NBPD regrets inaccurate information that has appeared on a frequently asked questions page on its website, which indicated incorrectly that only U.S. citizens are eligible for employment as New Bedford police officers. The webpage in question has since been corrected. Police departments throughout Massachusetts vary in eligibility requirements, with some departments following the same policy as the NBPD and others limiting eligibility to individuals with U.S. citizenship status. For its part, the U.S. Armed Forces allows both U.S. citizens and legal permanent residents to serve our country. The NBPD policy is in place because it addresses a compelling public safety need specific to New Bedford. In a city of diverse populations and neighborhoods, strong community engagement is the foundation of all public safety work. The department's ability to build a strong partnership with the people it serves is its greatest resource when solving crimes, deterring criminal activity, de-escalating situations, and establishing an atmosphere of safety and security in our neighborhoods. That is why the department works very hard to remove language and cultural barriers that may impede the trust and respect on which positive community interactions depend. Having police officers with the language skills and cultural experiences of those they protect is crucially important. When hiring its officers, whether holding U.S. citizenship or legal permanent resident status, the department takes advantage of every opportunity to recruit individuals with the language skills and cultural experiences that are critical to the department's success. One such officer, Edwin Yat Ta, was recently profiled by a local media organization for his bridge building with the city's Mayan community as a native K'iche speaker. At present, Officer Ta is the only K'iche speaker serving with the department. He is a legal permanent resident of the United States who is lawfully authorized to work in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts and is fully certified to serve as a police officer. His appointment to the NBPD is in full compliance with local, state, and federal law. Officer Ta is a dedicated and valued member of the New Bedford Police Department, and we are proud to have him serving our city. And again, that comes from Holly Huntoon, NBPD spokesperson. So that is the department's official stance and official statement on his status. So again, legal permanent resident, which is the kind of official term for a green card holder. If I had a follow-up question, and again, here's the thing. I don't have a problem with this. I totally understand what the New Bedford Police Department is saying in having representatives of these different communities within the community as part of the police department helps build trust with those communities and certainly gets over those language barriers. And at a time when I'm sure a lot of the Mayan community is less likely to want to reach out to law enforcement about things because they're afraid of what might happen with immigration officials, whether they're legally here or not, that having someone who is from their own community can help build back that trust. Also, the department needs officers. But I guess the follow-up question here would be, is Officer Ta the only legal permanent resident who serves on the New Bedford Police Department? We know he's the only Mayan officer. We're the only one that speaks the K'iche language. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. I'm just going by how Jack Splane used to pronounce it when he came here because he's done numerous stories on it. But are there other members of the force who are not U.S. citizens and are legal permanent residents? And would people have a problem with that as well? Let's say somebody who was here from Portugal as a legal permanent resident and not as a U.S. citizen. Do you have a problem with them serving on the police force? I got to get a break in here. We will do that in just a few moments. We will do that and be back in just a few moments.
There's a black hat caught in a high treetop. There's a flagpole rack and the wind won't stop. I have stood here before inside the porch.
And there you go. There's King of Pain by The Police. The song that if you ever want to, be able to wow your friends at a party with playing a song, go for that one. Because if they've got a piano, you just got to know two notes and you can pretty much get yourself at least through the whole first verse. I'm a big fan of those. You only need to know two notes songs. 508-996-0500. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
How you doing?
Thank you for reading that statement by the police department. It sounds like they tweaked the language to suit the situation. Because what I have been hearing up until now is that you have to be a U.S. citizen to be considered to be on the police force.
Right. That's what it said up until they made this apparent correction, as they say.
So it seems to me that they got caught in it, and so they swept in there real quick and changed the language to suit the situation.
I mean, I wonder if there might be something, maybe there's a job posting somewhere that they might have posted previously where they might be able to like take a screenshot of a ZipRecruiter post or something that has this language in it to say, see, like back on this date, we were promoting it as such too. I don't know.
Right. That's why I'm thinking, on my side, I'm just thinking that they tweaked it to suit the situation.
It sounds like a CYA move. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's pretty disingenuous. So I'm wondering what the chain of command is to sneak the guy through and, they kind of push the guy through. It's a symbolic thing, but it seems like he was pushed through.
I mean, I don't know if it was a sneak thing. This wasn't like, hey, guys, all of a sudden we have a Mayan police officer. I mean, when they posted about when he graduated from the police academy and like, so this is something that, they were very vocal about in terms of, who he was, but it's just it didn't catch the public's attention until this New Bedford Light piece.
Right. I don't think he could be trusted in certain situations.
For what reason? There's no reason to think that.
Well, what if he is faced with a situation where he's got an illegal immigrant in front of him? Which side is he going to take? Is he going to help the illegal immigrant in front of him, or is he going to honor his job?
There's no basis to make that assumption. If there's a black police officer and a black person commits a crime, do you think he's going to treat the black person any different? He swore to an oath.
No, that's true. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about illegal immigrants and legal immigrants. I just don't trust it. Thankfully I'm out of New Bedford. I don't have to worry about it, I guess, but still. I don't like it.
All right. Thank you for the call.
Yep.
Have a good weekend. And we got to take one more break here for this hour. We will do that and be right back. What's the temperature outside? Four.